You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
A warm welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to the action on Sunday from Gowran. They host an 8th race card on the level. Sam Norris here in the studio, and joining me on the line, as ever, is William Hill's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Hello, Sam.
How are you today?
Yeah, in good fettle, yeah. That's sand down for a couple of days to enjoy some good flat racing and the last day of the National Hunt season. And even though Willie Mullins didn't pull off the feat, the miraculous feat, it was nice to see Paul Nicholls triumphant, because I think, you know, morally, with as many winners as he had, it would have been a shame if he would have been robbed.
Yeah, I think so. We didn't want to see the trainer's title going to Ireland either, did we?
It would have been, you know, unprecedented, you know, to win it with less than 30 winners.
Yeah.
But that's the way that the trainer's title's formed, isn't it? It's not on pure numbers alone. It's quality rather than quantity, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. And having said that, Aidan O'Brien's plundered many a flat title, so I suppose it wouldn't be beyond the realms for an Irish trainer to win the British title.
No, I think Willie almost stumbled across the chance to be champion by default almost later on in the season. I think if he would have attacked it at an earlier stage, it might have been a different story. I think he might do next year. I think he'll, you know, try and plunder some of those early season races rather than just the ones after Christmas.
Yeah, you're right. And with the withdrawal of Room Vroom Mag, we were under no illusions that he was simply there to try and win the title. As soon as that had gone, swiftly withdrawn.
Yeah, I mean, it's caused a little bit of controversy among some punters, but I think, to be honest, it doesn't really sit that uncomfortable with me. I mean, I think it was just a good sporting gesture anyway by him to bring all those horses over. And it's quite clear that, you know, if you're running for 21 grand, albeit that's not to be sniffed at, you know, you get a chance to race for probably double treble out at Punchestown on home soil and the Grade 1 with the prestige of that race. You know, it just makes sense, really. So, you know, he's took the wrap across his knuckles, £1,000 fine, and we move on. But, you know, I think it's a bit of a storm in a teacup myself.
Yeah. I think I'd agree. Let's move on to matters closer at hand, though, Andy. As I say, we've got 8 races to come from Gowran Park today. We begin with their 210, which is a maiden over 7 furlongs. Maximum field for this one, 16 runners and 3 reserves. And Schubert is the 6-4 favourite here for the Ballydoyle Yard. Waitaki is 5-2 for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen. It's 4-1 for Short Stacked. Landa Cusick is 6-1, 10-1 for Tony the Gent, and bigger prices for the rest of them. The market principles of both had a few goes at shedding the maiden tag, Andy. Can either get off the mark today?
Well, I think the draw's going to play quite a significant role in this first race, Sam. I think Waitaki's arguably just about got the best form, certainly this season anyway. She's already had a run, which is an advantage at Bialkilnagrah at the Curragh on heavy ground. And albeit she didn't win that day, she ran with a good deal of promise. Her form last season was pretty useful as well. But she's drawn stall 15 today. And that's going to be quite difficult because her two main market rivals have got much more advantageous, luxurious draws towards the inside of the track. And there's only a short run to the bend here at Gowran. It's very, very important to get into a good position here, particularly in the early part of the card as well. I always find that inside rally is very, very crucial. Sometimes they end up shifting off the rail and coming down the middle when the ground gets churned up later on these cards. So I couldn't really put up Waitaki, albeit, you know, she's the most... I'll say the most likely winner, but has got the best form. Therefore, I'm going to look towards Schubert and the other horse, Short Stacked, who clashed towards the back end of last season. And Short Stacked on that occasion came out on top, finishing ahead of Aidan O'Brien's Charge, behind a nice horse of Jim Bolger's called Tribal Beat. The time of the race is very good, and those two mentioned just can't quite live with that Tribal Beat, who got plenty of good form. But I thought Short Stacked showed with a good degree of promise. And considering that was only his second run in his life, and Schubert had got better previous experience having run a couple of times prior to that, I'd probably take Tommy Stack's Hot Charge here, particularly as Yeah, this horse is available to back around the 4-1, 9-2 mark this morning, which means we can get an each-way bet on this horse. Drawn in stall 3. Hopefully the step up to 7 furlongs should suit this horse. And he's quite a nice looker as well. So, providing he's fit enough to do himself justice, because of his draw and his beating of Schubert last year, short stack has to be the bet each way at 4-1.
Short stacks gets the vote in the opener. Then we move to race number 2 now, which comes up at 2:40, a 7 furlong Phillies handicap for us to look at here, where Vat Pensiero is the 7-2 favourite. Missouri is 6-1, Penny Pepper 6-1, Bane 15-2, 8-1 for Granny May. Continental Lady is 9-1 along with Cole and Gara, and it's 11-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. A fairly open Phillies handicap here, Andy.
Yeah, definitely, Sam. Yeah, not one to be taken lightly either, because, you know, if, I think the more you delve into the channels of form in this race, you know, the more options and the more horses you could sort of consider. I'd whittled it down to 2 in the end. I'd probably have to have a couple of bets in this race. Penny Pepper and Missouri are the two that I really like ahead of the rest of the field. We'll start with Penny Pepper first, the horse I tipped last time out. I think I'd napped her actually down in Cork the other day. And although she got beat, she got beat by a horse who I think is quite useful and went on to prove that theory correct with a win for us on the podcast the other day down in Tipperary called Blues Breaker from the informed Damien English stable. And I thought Penny Pepper did really well considering she was stranded down the middle of the course for the majority of that race, drawn in stall 3, and the winner had the luxury of racing up towards the near side fence on the better ground. So I upgraded that performance. I also thought she ran eye-catching well, again from a bad draw the time before at the Curragh. That was on the first day of the Irish flat season, keeping on quite well to finish 5th behind Bubbly Bellini in a very hot handicap. So a 2 run so far this season have read quite well on paper. She could have done with a slightly better draw today, in all fairness, but I think these older handicappers are a little bit more accustomed to sort of getting into a position and racing in big fields, so it shouldn't be that much of an issue. And I think she could go well. The other one I quite like, as I said, is Missouri, who shaped well the other day behind Jamesy on the all-weather at Dundalk in a very fast speed figure race that contained lots of informed horses, such as the winner and, of course, Great Wide Open, who was third. And if she can translate that back to the turf, she's got every chance of getting off the mark. And Sheila Lavery definitely is a trainer to keep an eye on because she's got some nice horses in her yard. So those are my two that I think are worth concentrating on there, Penny Pepper and Missouri.
Missouri and Penny Pepper then both 6-1 at the time of recording. Race number 3 comes up at 3:10, a 7 furlong handicap here. Plenty of runners again for this one. 3 Majors is the 7-2 market leader. Crescendo is 4-1, 6-1 Texas Radio. Angelic Demon is a 10th chance along with Trenchtown Rock, and it's bigger prices for the rest of them. What caught the eye here?
I don't think I've ever tipped a winner in these 0-65 handicaps at Gower, and they are absolutely a nightmare to get your head around. They really are. I would suggest 3 Majors is probably the most likely winner here, given that the form of that race down in Limerick has worked out incredibly well. Niven has gone on to win subsequently. The second horse, Charlie's Missile, I think, if I remember rightly, that won at Navan on last Saturday. Mine's in a bit of a whirl at the moment, trying to keep up to date with all the form lines over jumps on the flat. And 3 Majors, obviously, who started them very well from the back end of the field, tagged onto those two and finished a never near a third. So, you know, the form's there for all to see with him. So you've definitely got to consider him, particularly as he's drawn quite well. And the other one to mention as well is Crescendo from the Jim Bulger stable. Although he hasn't hit the board on his 2 starts this season, he has run quite respectably, but slightly better races than this, particularly that one down in Cork the other day, behind all scored a few dollars more, and Shanghai Beauty in Battle of the Board. Now, they would be used to running in probably not 0-80, 0-90 company, those horses. So this does represent a drop in grade. Drawn in stall 4, with the likelihood of better ground suiting, the balance of power is just slightly tipped in that one's favour at the price of this morning. So, albeit I do think 3 Majors is a worthy favourite, I'd probably go with Crescendo each way at 5-1.
Crescendo then, the choice for Andy in the 3:10. We move ahead now to the next race on the card at Gowran. This one comes up at 3:40, the feature race of the day here. And we've got a listed stakes over a mile and a furlong. 8 runners line up for this one, and Discipline heads affairs for Dermot Weld at 6-4. 7-4 about Baka Bakiata. Ebeya is 6-1. Stiper Mac is 7-1. And then it's 16-1 or bigger prices for the rest of them. As I said there, Andy, the feature race of the day, and looks a fairly decent one on paper.
Yeah, real quandary for punters here because you've got a couple of choices here. Do you go with the lightly raced, progressive and potentially very smart Discipline, who's made her debut here back early on in the month, won very, very easily in quite a decent time when well expected to do so, as the market suggested. Or do you go with Boki Bakayata, the reliable, solid performer in this kind of company for the last couple of years? She's dined at the very top table against the very best fillies throughout her career. My personal choice would be to go with Boki Bakayata, because I do think she'll be more appreciative to this ground today than she was on her seasonal reappearance in the alleged stakes at the corner. That contained a very, very hot bunch of horses. Obviously, it went the way of Zukova. Success Days, of course, a very useful horse on heavy ground. And the good top-class filly Found was back in third. And Boki Bakayata, to be fair to her, only finished three lengths behind Aidan O'Brien's charge. She just didn't handle the ground as well as the others. But the time figures suggest it was a very, very good race, despite the small field. And like I say, with the likelihood of better to come now she's on a decent surface. Don't forget, look at what she's done last season. You know, she's behind the likes of Pleacecock when she finished fifth in the Irish 1,000 Guineas. She beat Easter at the Curragh. Then she was third to Ribbons in a Grade 2 at the Curragh. You know, she was in a Grade 1 race at Ascot as well, only beating three lengths. So, you know, it'll take a very good performance by discipline. I'm not saying that Dermot Wells filly can't bridge that gap, but she sets a very, very high standard here, Jessica Harrington's charge. And with that in mind, I'd go with her over the potentially useful one.
Boki Bakayata, then, the choice of Andy Holding. 7-4 in the betting this morning. The 4:10 is the next race on the card. A filly's maiden here over a mile and a furlong again. And the betting this morning is headed by Shamarine at 8-11. 9-4 for Etched. Balcony is 10-1. See the Awesome is 10-1. It's bigger prices for the rest of them. The market centering around these two, Andy, both with their powerful connections. Are you focusing on those two?
Yeah, I certainly am. Obviously, they ran the other day in the same race behind another one of Aidan O'Brien's called Somehow. And it was slightly disappointing, actually, for me that Shamarine didn't manage to win, because she'd run eye-catchingly well in a very hot maiden, as we all know, on the first day of the Irish Flats Turf season behind Imbriana, a race which has worked out incredibly well. The likes of Claudio Monteverdi have run out of that, and several others down the field have all boosted the form line. So for her, therefore, not to win at Leopardstown, when she seemingly had every chance, was a slight, I wouldn't say backward step, but it would have been nice for her to win. But she probably bumped into a decent filly, in all fairness. And I think we're going to be hearing big things of the winner. Back in fourth was Etched, who was nibbled out in the market and was expected to go well. She had every chance as well, to be honest. It's hard to see her on the evidence of that form anyway, unless she's much more at home on the quicker ground, getting the better of Dermot Wells' charge, who, to my eye anyway, looks a much more scopier and stronger and better model. And then you look behind the front two in the market, and you look towards perhaps the likes of Balcony, perhaps, improving on that run at Leopardstown. But it's hard to see. So from the favourite inside draw as well, she's drawn in stall one. I'd imagine that Pat Mullen will bounce her out, get her into a good track position, and it's going to make Shamarine very, very difficult to beat.
Shamarine, the choice then of Andy in the 4:10. We go to the 4:40 now, which is a handicap over a mile. Again, we've got 16 runners down to contest this one, with Beachmount Whisper heading the betting at 11-4. It's 5-1 about Tamisar. Key and Kyle is 8-1. Honor Oak at 10-1. Venetian Queen is 10-1. It's bigger prices for the rest of them. What'll it be in this one, Andy?
Yeah, I'll probably stick with Beachmount Whisper here, largely because of his consistency. And finally, he managed to get the monkey off his back with a well-deserved victory at Leopardstown the other day. Quite a surprise, really, that he hadn't won a race prior to that. There's nothing malicious with his horse or anything iffy about him. He just keeps bumping into one. He hit the crossbar numerous occasions last year. He was getting beat heads, necks, short heads, you name it. He finally, like I say, laid the ghost to rest to prove that he can win a race. But I thought winning quite snugly at Leopardstown. He could have easily chucked it in as well, because there was horses converging on him either side in the home straight at Leopardstown, but he fought him off one by one, and in the end he ran a deserved win, as I said. The time figures he's done in the past are very good. He has run well here at Gowan as well on the couple of occasions he's visited this course. And incidentally as well, I know he won on heavy ground, he's by Kodiak, but he's handled good to firm and good ground just as well as he has heavy, so he's a very versatile horse. He could have done with a slightly better draw. I must admit that's the only thing that tempers my enthusiasm to a degree. But because he's so reliable, you're guaranteed a massive run from him. And he's 130 with William Hill this morning. And, you know, quarter of the odds, you back him each way. You're virtually on a bet to nothing for him. So he's the choice.
Beachman Whisper then gets the pick in the 4:40. The penultimate race of the day from Gowran comes up at 5:10. This is over a mile and a furlong, where Ebadian is the 5-4 favourite this morning. It's 5-2 about Lieutenant General. Mandarin Monarch is 9-2, 15-2 for French Blue, and Mint Chai is the outsider of this quintet at 8-1. Anything standing out here?
Yeah, it's another one that is a kind of trappy race to get your head around. Several of these were mildly progressive last season, and obviously fitness is a little bit of a concern with one or two of them. We don't really know where we stand. But given that Ain O'Brien's horses seem to be more well forward than they are ordinarily at this time of year, and Lieutenant General ran behind a horse I've got a massive amount of respect for, as everyone who listens to the podcast regularly will know, in the shape of Blue de Vega. That form down in Leopardstown towards the back of the season, for me, is arguably the pick of the quintet going to post. By Fastnet Rock as well. Fastnet Rock's this season have really hit the ground running with all Aidan O'Brien horses. It seems to be a trend of his at the moment. God knows, I've almost lost count of how many Fastnet Rocks have won first time off the shelf for the Aidan O'Brien camp. So hopefully this horse will handle the trip. That's the only thing I'm not massively certain about. But they do stay really well, a lot of those Fastnet Rocks. And it might well be that this horse, having run over 6-7 furlongs in its career, might improve significantly for a step-up in trip. Certainly that's what Aidan O'Brien thinks, and that's good enough for me. So Lieutenant General, with that run behind Blue de Vega at Leopardstown, being the key form line for me, is the choice in the 5-10.
Lieutenant General then in the 5-10. We move to the final race now. This is the 5-40. A mile and a furlong maiden coming up for us here, where Azanac is the 6-5 favourite, ahead of Sean O'Casey at 15-8. 15-2 about Immortal Bridge. Parry Pursue is 10-1 along with Prince Charming. It's bigger prices for the rest of them. What do you like in the closing maiden, Andy?
Well, I always find when Dermot Wells got a real buzz horse here in these races, they very, very rarely get beat. And this seems to be the case with Azanac. So it doesn't matter how I look this race from a form perspective of the ones that have run, the ones that have done good time figures. It might well be that it's a simple case of following Dermot in these Aga Khan colours and you end up with a winner. He's certainly got an idea anyway of what it'll take to beat Sean O'Casey, because he's already achieved that when he ran Harzand in that race at Cork. Back at the back end of March, Harzand was all the rage that day and it absolutely bolted. I think he won by about 15 lengths. Even the third horse that day, Tarazani, was also trained and owned by the Aga Khan. So he had two horses in that race and they absolutely thumped Sean Casey by the length of a cricket pitch. So it's going to be very, very difficult for any of these horses if this Enzac is up to scratch. And like I say, judged by the market activity, that is going to be very much the case. Beautifully bred as well. By See the Star. Should be an absolute ideal surface for him to start off here. And Dermot, who's the king of Garran Park, always has plenty of good ammunition, particularly in these maidens here at Garran. In fact, I think this is his number one track for introducing his maiden or good maiden horses. So without me actually knowing anything about the horse personally, I'm going to do tips or whispers. I will go with the market here with Ezanak in the last.
Andy following the money then and going for Ezanak in that 5-40. Just give us a quick summary then, please, Andy, and recap your selections for Garran on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely the best day's action today is over at Garran with a couple of decent prizes along the way and plenty of informative handicaps and maidens to boot. We'll start off with a good 7-furlong maiden where I'm going to go with the draw. I'm going to go with Short Stacked as well, who's been gelded over the winter following that good run behind Trouble Beat towards the back end of the season. I'm pretty sure he'll be in the first three for us. 2-2 concentrate on in the 2:40, Missouri and Penny Pepper. In the 3:10, trappy old handicap, wouldn't go maximum stakes here, but I do quite like the claims of Crescendo from an each-way perspective. Bacabacchiata gets the pick in the 3:40 over the favourite Discipline. In the 4:10, probably the strongest of the short price favourites is Shamreen, who's got the ideal draw on the ground today to confirm the promise he's already shown so far to date this season. The consistent as ever Beachmount Whisper, sure, he's going to give us a good run for our money once again in the 4:40. Lieutenant General could be another winner for the Ain O'Brien bandwagon in the 5:10. And then it could be over to Dermot Weld to tip the balance of parry in his favour in the final races. Ezanak is expected to justify favouritism in the last.
There we are then, thoughts of Andy Holding ahead of the action today from Garran. And you'll hear every race live from the Irish venue alongside Musselburgh and Thirst domestically from 1:40 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio with Luke Elder, Ollie Pimrott and Will Smith in the studio. Thank you very much for that, Andy, and best of luck today.
Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.